The love of Jesus has changed my life. I've seen his beauty and heard his word. Now I worship at the feet of Christ who redeemed me with his own blood.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for he is good. Yes, he is good.
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, so all of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com, and click on our donation page.
Yahweh. Glory to your name, O God. You're worthy to be praised, O God. You're worthy to be praised, O God. Mm-hmm. Have been dealing with some interesting times in our country, in our world. And this week in particular, there's been a word that has been popping up all over the place. And that word is called mandate. And so I want to give a description on what a mandate is, because that is going to actually mirror everything that we talk about today. I'm going to try to be not too long-winded, but you know I get excited and you know I can go anywhere with this stuff. But I looked it up because I believe that when you are sharing, and especially when you're talking about words, you need to know what those words mean. If you're in the Bible and you're reading scripture, you need to know what is actually being said around the key verses that you plan on using. In other words, to give your message a context, because many times we are quoting scriptures out of context and they take on a meaning that maybe God did not intend, and maybe we don't want to teach because we could be leading the sheep astray, unawares. And so I've been really careful, prayerfully, in trying to make sure that everything that I share with you is in context. And in fact, that everything that I share, even if we're dealing with a current event, is being dealt with from the grid of the Bible. For we always use the Word of God to back up everything that we share here on Adoration Sunday Service. And so Myra would usually come in with her moment right now and share a sweet message that is always directly dealing with the heart of God and the heart of God's people towards him and towards each other. But here you got me. You're stuck with me. And so, you know, I am truly mission-minded, evangelical-minded. And sometimes I feel like I have to share things that may not necessarily be what people want to hear, but most of our Bible heroes had to share messages that most people did not want to hear. And so I feel in that way, I'm right on point. So I promised you a definition. So forgive me for looking at my notes, because I got to look at them sometimes getting older. But mandate is defined simply as this: an official order or commission to do something. That's the basic definition. Now, in context of current events, and I'm not going to go off into a tangent about this either, but you know that the big news in the world, especially in the United States, has been mandates based upon the vaccine, based upon the pandemic. And I'm not here today to offer my personal opinions on any of those issues, although I have in the past, and I stand firm with what I personally believe. But we really want to deal with this from another angle. And this angle would be as being obedient to the authorities that we have to answer to, and that God actually wants us to be obedient to. And I'm going to just go right to it, because when we're talking about things dealing with the authority of this earth, when we're dealing with things like being law-abiding, paying one's taxes, being obedient from a state level, being obedient with the constables on patrol, that would be the cops, aka the police. You know, God is encouraging us to be obedient to the authority. And for those of you all that are real Bible students, you know where I'm getting ready to go. So I'm getting ready to go right to Romans 13. And I'm going to deal with verses 1 through 7. I'm reading this from the New American Standard Bible, so it might be different than what you might be looking at. I use this one when I'm sharing publicly only because it uses language that we can pretty much understand without going through the these and the thous or what have you. But in my personal reading, I'm a King James dude, so I kind of like the these and thous and wherewiths and thereofs and all that. So let's just go ahead and do this. If you have your Bibles, we're in Romans 13, 1 through 7. It says this: every person is to be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a servant of God for it is a servant of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a servant of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Pay to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, respect to whom respect, honor to whom honor. God's word is blessed. Now, I read these verses, and boy, it made it really hard for me to deal with the word mandate in the way that it has been used by people that represent us in government, and also those who represent us as far as social media platforms, as far as the news, etc., etc. For in the writings here, which I believe with all of my heart are inspired and come directly from God through the Apostle Paul, I believe in every word that I've just read. In fact, on previous episodes of Adoration Sunday Service, I have literally brought up the Charters of Freedom of the United States. And if you don't know what they are simply the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the U.S. Constitution. And you know what? No matter who has written those laws, in the same way that no matter who has written the words of the Bible, let's just put the record straight or set the record straight. We know that if there is any human participation in anything, that there is prone or is prone to be error or prone to be misuse. And so I don't reflect so much on who has written the laws of our country. And while I am an admirer of many of the great men and women who have made up the stories and the principles and the commandments of the Bible, I don't hold anyone on such a high pedestal that if they do something that does not reflect what they have written, that is going to knock me out of the box. In other words, you know, to make it plain, you can be a part of a bad church, but there's never a bad God. You can be a part of an institution that does not practice what they preach, but God always practices what he preached. And so I had to do some reconciliation with Romans 13, because if I put Romans 13 on an island all by itself and did not look at the totality of Scripture, I would be having some major problems with some of the things that are going on with our current government, with the attitudes of people that are so adamant about instituting mandates without listening to points of view that might differ from mandates. And yet, the Bible does encourage us to be obedient to the authority of this land. In fact, if we're not obedient to the authority of this land, we are actually in opposition to God, if you're looking at Romans 13. But you know what? I had to go into the Scriptures and I really had to think about some things. So if you guys don't know it by now, I am enamored with the book of Acts. I've taught it. I use it as a platform for my own ministry. Everything that I think about when I think about the church is based on the book of Acts. And why? Because in the book of Acts, that is really where the New Testament church begins. I know we have the Gospels that precede, but let me tell you, the real New Testament experience is in the book of Acts. Jesus has departed this earth physically, and as it says, he has gone to be at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And now Jesus has given us another comforter. In Spanish, it would be Espíritu Santo. In English, the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit who leads and guides us unto all truth. We don't have to be comfortless any longer, because the Holy Spirit has come not just upon us, not just around us, but in us and through us, over us, beneath us, around us. The Holy Spirit is our atmosphere of worship and obedience. And God uses the Holy Spirit in order to set up his mandate. Because we know that the earth has a mandate. No matter what country you go to, that country has a mandate on something. And yet, what always seems to get forsaken in everything is God's mandate. Did you know that God has a mandate too? He does. And so I had to reconcile some things, because I am really not feeling what's going on in our world right now. Because in the present way that human mandates are set up, authorized by our own government, these things are set up as ways to really divide us as opposed to helping us. So let me just set the record straight. I did some research this week. I looked at the U.S. Constitution. I read some articles pertaining to the U.S. Constitution as it pertains to mandates, and particularly as it pertains to vaccination mandates. And you know what? Beloveds, our government has the right to be able to set a mandate. The question becomes, what is the motivation of that mandate? And has that mandate been established with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? And that's where we get into some treacherous waters. Okay, so again, I'm not going to go into my personal feelings about anything, but what I will say is that right now, for those that are creating mandates and are enforcing mandates, I also read that constitutionally, while you can create that mandate, you cannot, as a government, at least on paper, force anyone to do something with their own bodies that they don't want to do. Now, here's where it gets murky, because the mandate is going to be in favor of the established law of the land. But what happens is that when the government puts a mandate out, yes, they may not be able to force you to do anything, but what it does, if you have motivations or feelings or any kind of issue with that process, and for purposes of this conversation, I'm going to say for two reasons, for health reasons and for religious reasons. While they can't lock you up and tie you down and stick a needle in you, in a different way, they actually are doing it because if you're not part of the mandate protocol, then you are ostracized from society. In the Bible days, they would call that being a leper. Today, it would mean that you can't go to your favorite movies or to concert events. You can't go to certain states and participate in anything because they're looking for proof that you have adhered to the mandate with no gray area. And so these are things that cause division, and division is not of God. And God, in sharing with us through Romans 13, is not sharing Romans 13 as a way of being divisive. Because remember, Romans 13 is based upon a governmental situation in which that government and the laws of that government are looking to God. That was the way our country was established. They may not have always lived the law, but the law was based on the Holy Word. And so I stand as a patriotic American. I stand on those laws. I believe those laws without any hesitation. We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, and ensure domestic tranquility. I remember those lines, and I haven't said them since I was in school. These days, you're not even required to know those words. You're not even really required to know the Pledge of Allegiance. And, of course, you're not allowed to publicly pray. And that means that this nation has turned away from God, just as many nations around the globe have also turned away from God. So let me make my point, is that I would have been having some major issues with Romans 13 if that's all I had to stand on. But guys, I brought up the book of Acts because in the midst of the book of Acts, you probably had some men who were totally operating outside of the law of the land, and yet God blessed them. And I was trying to reconcile that, and then it just dawned on me that there is a law, or there are laws, that supersede anything that man has established. So, in a nutshell, when the laws of the land are divisive, create disharmony, do not have a platform that's based upon God, when those laws are used for ulterior motives that are anti-Christ, when those particular laws, mandates, are there to promote agendas that are not holy, we're going to have to be like the apostles that walked the earth during the period of the book of Acts. And we're going to have to deny and defy for the sake of something greater than our U.S. Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and our Declaration of Independence. And that would be the law of God. Let me share something with you. This is in Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 29. And let me set you up before I actually read this. So in Acts chapter 5, we have some wrongdoings that happened by Ananias and Sapphira, if my memory is serving me correct. And then, on top of that, the apostles are going out and they are sharing the gospel. Now, the gospel in that day was seen as something that was counter to the law of Moses. And so you had Sadducees, Pharisees, scribes that were totally, totally anti these heathens, as they would call them, who are out there promoting the gospel. If I can be true, it's pretty much like that today. we just don't have as many people writing about it. But listen to this. So the apostles are going out sharing the good news, and they get locked up. And here again, Holy Spirit goes in to the place where they are imprisoned. He unloosens the bands that would have them bound. And the next time that we see them in Scripture, they're back out in the marketplace preaching the gospel. So the leaders of that time, they had to go gather them again. This time they didn't do it by force, but they had to gather them together. And this is kind of where I'm coming in to what is being shared in Acts chapter 5, 27 through 29. Again, I'm in the New American Standard Bible. It reads as thus. When they had brought them, they had them stand before the council. How many times in the book of Acts do you see someone standing before the council? Whenever you're before the council, let me tell you, beloveds, it is never good news. Anyway, the high priest interrogated them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name." In case you need some help there, that name would be Yeshua, Jesus. "And yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." So in a nutshell, Peter is saying, "Yo, look here. I know that's what you're saying, but we answer to a higher authority, and that authority is God." So as I'm sharing this, I'm not sharing this in a way that I want you to go out there and to just openly defy the law of the land. Because again, the law of the land is relevant. There are laws in this land we must protect and we must be obedient to. The laws that make up our Constitution, the laws that make up our Bill of Rights, they are relevant, and they were written with the design to bless and to protect all men. No matter how they've been enforced, those laws are relevant. I stand at allegiance to my flag for the United States of America. I believe that. But before I put my hand on my heart for the flag of the United States, My allegiance first and foremost is to God. And God's mandate supersedes even the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the U.S. Constitution, no matter how they are executed. God's law is relevant. It is most relevant. And if we would live by God's laws, we wouldn't have to be worried about being disobedient to the law of the land. Because God's law should supersede the law of the land. And let me even be more bold. In any kind of consideration by our lawmakers, wouldn't it be amazing if they went to the Bible first and then to the written law before making decisions? That would eliminate a lot of trauma, drama, and issues in our land. And while I'm focusing this mostly on the United States, this is really relevant to all the nations. There are things that we must be obedient to. We must pay our taxes. We must obey the police. Those things are necessary. We pay taxes because we need to provide for our schools. We need to provide for the roads, the infrastructure of our country, for science, for medicine, all types of things. I'm probably leaving out a lot of stuff that's relevant. But the bottom line is when the government is operating in harmony with God, we shouldn't have any problems being obedient to the law, because the law is actually for our good. And if there is something that's going on and there is a remedy for it, the law should consider the Bible and consider what is already on paper, and then coming up with a process in which all people will be cared for without division, without name calling, without arrogance and narcissism and all the other things that make up a divided world. God has a mandate. I want to read a couple of God's mandates, because sometimes we forget about God when we are in our think tanks and when we are pontificating in barbershops or in our social networks. We tend to not think about God. Yet God should be the first consideration. God's mandates. Mark chapter 16, verses 14 through 16. Later, he appeared to the 11 disciples themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he reprimanded them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen from the dead. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. The one who has believed and has been baptized will be saved, but the one who has not believed will be condemned." My God, my God. Isaiah 43, verse 21. "The people whom I formed for myself will declare my praise." Now, I want to stop right there for a minute. Because I like that one. Because I think sometimes when we are pontificating and debating and all the things that we're doing, when we're making comments that are really motivated to crush people and not to be empathetic and sympathetic with situations that we have never experienced before, and everybody's trying to figure out the right thing to do, and we're so ready to hop on someone who is going against what we think is right. Yet, if the script was flipped and we were the ones that were outside of a particular belief or understanding of the law, we would also want someone to at least hear our petition. And that is what's getting lost here. And so the reason it's getting lost is because God has simply been eliminated out of the process. Remember, just because you say Lord, Lord, does not mean that you are part of the remnant, part of the chosen. I'm telling you this. Many are going to really be shocked when they find out that a lot of the people that you have been admiring aren't even in God's number for those who will be in eternity with Him. Beloveds, God created us for His purposes. So anything that we feel, anything that we believe, has to be put up with what God has commanded and demanded from us. My personal beliefs on many issues have nothing to do with the gospel. I feel a certain way about a lot of the scriptures that are very hard to be obedient to. Because why are they hard? Because they challenge the areas of my life that are the weak areas, the areas where I want to wallow in my humanity, because when I'm in my humanity, it feels good when I'm thinking about my emotions and satisfying them and being able to have thoughts that don't necessarily vibe with the Bible. Sometimes it feels good. I'm not going to lie to you. But we have to be obedient to God's mandate. God gave the children of Israel mandates. So many mandates, it was impossible for them to live and fulfill them. And so what does God do? He gives us a new law, a new testament, one that is not based upon legalism, but one that is based upon grace and mercy. We were designed for God's purposes, and we were put here to enact those commands and His will, to promote them, to show our obedience to our Father in heaven. And for that, as the scripture says, we must declare His praise. 1 Peter 4:11, and I'm wrapping up. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking actual words of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's what I have for you today. God has a mandate. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever he has commanded, and he promises that he will be with us always, even until the end of the age. Mandate. He tells us to love one another, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. He gives us mandates not to be anxious for anything, but things by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Let our requests be made known unto him. He tells us to not lie, to not cheat. He tells us to not be covetous over other people's stuff. He says, be excited to be satisfied with what he has given each and every one of us. The world will always have their mandates. It is up to us to determine whether that mandate is consistent with the word of God or not. And beloveds, if it is not, choose ye this day whom you will serve.